Mrs. Main back with us from her knee replacement surgery as well, and Lord answering prayer there for her in a great way. I'm very thankful for that. Psalm 89. Now we're fast forwarding just a little bit. I'm not trying to give you any hope that we'll be done before 2031. But I am jumping around a little bit, and I had been praying about what the Lord would have us to do on stewardship night at last Wednesday, and so I always thought I ought to be ready in case we had time for preaching, and we didn't, and so I had this message ready, and the Lord moved my heart to go ahead and preach it tonight. I actually have already preached it, so this is actually the second go-round with it. It ought to be a little better than what it was the first time, unless, you know, there's a letdown. You just never know. And I wasn't planning on preaching it. I was at a preacher's fellowship on Tuesday that I've been asked to preach at back in last year. And I found out when I got there that I wasn't the last preacher. I was the first preacher. And here's what he told me. He said, "Now, the older preacher goes second." I said, "You just became my friend." Because I'd sort of moved into that realm a lot of times that I was the, you know, younger, older preacher. Does that make sense? The younger, older preacher? And, I was used to being around younger guys and younger preachers, different places, you know. And next thing I know, I got a guy older than me preaching. And I tell you what, it was absolutely wonderful. So I thought, "Lord, I can't preach the message that I was getting ready to preach." I said, I'm first. I got to make sure that I have, you know, time limit and all of that. And so I just all of a sudden ripped this one out of the hat and preached it, all right? And I think it went fairly well. I had some folk tell me it helped them, and so I hope it'll help you tonight, all right? Psalm 89, look if you would please, in verse number 1. The psalmist said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." I can't think of anything better to sing about than the mercies of the Lord. He said, "I'm going to sing about God, how good you are, how wonderful you are, your mercies." Aren't you grateful tonight for the mercy of God? He said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Notice verse 2, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." Now, when you come to Psalm 89, it marks the end of the third book or the third section of Psalms. You remember the Psalms divide up, the Jewish people divided up the Psalms into five books or sections that corresponded to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And so this has the third section or the Leviticus Psalms. So you have the Genesis Psalms, and we're at the end of those and actually getting ready to begin the Exodus Psalms, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And it reminds us that every good thing begins with God. Aren't you glad that God desires to give His children good things? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then you come to the second, that's the Exodus Psalms. Exodus is the book of redemption and reminds us of the God who redeemed us. Listen, we ought never get over what God's done in our lives. Amen. Ought never get used to being saved. Ought never get used to the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm just glad tonight that I have been redeemed. What about you? And I'm thankful for that. You know, thankful for the important times in my life. The day I was saved, the day God called me to preach. Never want to get over the call of God on my life. The day God allowed me to marry my wonderful wife and then gave me children. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God bringing me here, letting me pastor this wonderful church. Listen, folks, never get over what God does in your life. Amen? Number two, or next, you have the Leviticus Psalms. What Psalm 89 ends. And what's interesting is you read the section of the Leviticus Psalms. You're going to find a recurring theme, a recurring reference to the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the place of worship. It was there that the children of Israel would come and meet with their God, whether it was in the tabernacle of the wilderness, whether it was the temple that was built during the days of Solomon. It was there in the sanctuary that God dwelled among His people, and they would there enter into the presence of God. They would meet with the God of heaven. And here's what the Leviticus Psalms teach us. They teach us that we can bring every circumstance, every situation, every need, every burden, every trial, every tear, every good time into the presence of God. I can bring it to the Lord in prayer. Every season of life, I can bring it into the presence of God. Now, when I come to Psalm 89, we know that every psalm has its story. We don't know a lot about this psalm. I know that within its verses are some low notes. I know there's some minor refrains, but yet we know it's a psalm of praise. I mean, he's singing in the first verse and he's praising in the last verse. Look, if you would, the final verse of Psalm 89. It's verse 52. Notice he ends his psalm after a low note. He's going to hit a high note. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord forevermore." He said, "God, I just want to bless your name. I want to speak well of you. I want to praise you. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." I think if there's just some good things we can say amen about, what about you? We don't know a lot about the psalm, but what we do know is found in the divinely inspired title. It's the superscription, the little wording above the psalm. If it's in your Bible, it's a masculine psalm of Ethan the Ezrahite. Now we know, first of all, it's a masculine psalm. It's a psalm of instruction. There are 13 psalms that are masculine psalms. We're going to see another one here soon. I'm probably going to preach it on a Sunday morning. And this is the 12th of the 13 masculine psalms. And these are psalms that they're not just designed to make us feel good. I'm glad there's times I can come to the psalms and it makes me feel better. They're designed to make us think differently. You see, it's one thing to feel better. It's something else to think better. How I think will affect how I feel. If I think wrong, I won't feel right. But if I think right, the good feelings will follow. And so He wants us to think right. He wants to teach us. We know that it's written, the human penman is a man by the name of Ethan the Ezrahite. This might be the very first time that you've ever met Ethan the Ezrahite, okay? And Ethan is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. We won't turn there, but it tells us a little bit about him. He lived in the days of Solomon. He's also known as Jeduthun. He was a musician. He was an accomplished musician. He led in the worship of Jehovah in the temple. And the Bible also tells us he was a man of great wisdom. He understood something about life. And he was a man of the Scriptures, a man who knew God. And you see that as it's borne out in his psalm. He's going to outlive Solomon. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because of the nature of his psalm. He's going to outlive King Solomon. He's going to actually see the tragic reign of Solomon's foolish son, Rehoboam. You know, one thing about Rehoboam was a young man that didn't have a lot of sense. He was a foolish man. He didn't have any wisdom like his dad. He didn't have wisdom like his granddad, David. He lacked wisdom like Ethan, the Ezrahite. You know, I recognize that we have different generations in our church. I recognize that. We've got generations on up there, on down to what's in our nursery. We understand that. And sometimes we as in older generations, we'll look down on the younger generations. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to have a mentoring attitude, not a critical attitude. Just because maybe they see things a little bit differently, do things a little bit differently, doesn't mean that the coming generation is bad. And sometimes one of the reasons why we're losing the younger generations is because we as in the older, and can I just sort of say younger, older generations? Does that sound a little bit better? You know, the older generations, we don't have a little bit, we don't have time for that, we don't have patience for that, or maybe we don't see any wisdom in it. But what we need to do is we need to have a mentoring attitude. But now wait a minute, can I tell you, if you're part of the younger generation, I believe there's also some burden on you as well to recognize that there's some wisdom in the hoary or the gray head. And just because maybe they don't know their way around an iPad or an iPhone maybe as well as you do, maybe technology can be a little bit scary, that doesn't mean that they don't have something good and right and positive to say and to speak into your generation. I believe it sort of comes together. And Rehoboam was foolish. See, you're going to find that he comes and that the kingdoms come before him. The kingdom does. And they're saying, listen, your daddy had some heavy taxes on us and some heavy burdens. And here's what we're going to ask you to do. Just lighten up a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to serve you, King Rehoboam. We're going to be your subjects. We're going to serve you and we're going to honor you and all that. Just lighten up some of the burden. And the wise men in the kingdom, the older men said, hey, it'd be a good idea to listen to what they're telling you and maybe just lighten up a little bit. But you know what? He went and talked to the younger men, and the younger men said, hey, listen, you need to meet, really, if Solomon, if he whipped them with whips, you whip them with scorpions. If he put a lighter burden, you make it heavier on them. You just press them down even more. And you know what he did? He rejected the counsel of the wise men and he followed the foolish counsel of the younger men. And so as Ethan is looking at this, he's witnessing the breakup of the kingdom of Israel. It divides into two different kingdoms. And he begins to lament. He begins to mourn the collapse, the beginning of the collapse of the Davidic kingdom. And Ethan is living in a dark day. He's living a difficult day as he's mourning the decline of his nation. He's never seen it like... Now, wait a minute. Think about Ethan. He remembers he remembers the glories of David's reign. He lived through the glories of Solomon's reign. And now, as an old man looking back, he's seeing the downfall and the decline of his... I bet he said what David Jeremiah said when he titled his book. I haven't read the book, but I sure like the title. I thought I'd never see the day. Can I tell you something? I thought there are things going on in our nation right now. The decline of our nation. I thought I'd never see the day that we're living in right now. What about you? I knew that these days would possibly come. But I'll just be honest with you, Brother Rock. I didn't think it'd be in my day. I think it'd be on further down the road. But you know what the sad fact is? It's here. And our nation is a nation in decline morally. It's in decline politically. We lack wise men in our government. We do. We lack statesmen in our government. Hey, there's a difference between a politician and a statesman. Politicians is all about... Oh, listen, let's see what the winds of popular opinion is. A statesman is one who stands for what's right for his nation. Daniel was a statesman. That's for men of integrity. Men that are not moved by the winds of popularity. Men who stand for what's right. Women who stand for what's right. We're living in a day when we're being led by foolish people many times. Isn't that right? And we're seeing our nation decline in all these different ways. And it's declining spiritually. And here Ethan is living in a day like that. And he's pleading with God for the restoration of His kingdom and the fulfillment of God's promises to David. Because when you read this psalm, it has to do with the Davidic covenant and the promises that God had made to David. And he's going to bear that out throughout the psalm. It's a royal psalm. It's a messianic psalm. It's going to look forward to the glorious reign. Hey, it might be dark right now, but Ethan says, hey, there's a better day coming. Hey, I just want to say, church, it might look dark right now. It might be difficult right now. Hey, but there's a better day coming. You know what he was saying? Hey, there's a day coming when King Jesus will reign. He didn't know His name, but he knew that there was a Messiah that's going to come. We know Him by name. And friend, I'm looking forward to when King Jesus reigns. What about you? Hey, listen, just take some encouragement tonight. There's a better day ahead. Look, if you would, verses 18 and 19 of the psalm. Would you do that? He said, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Do you see that phrase, Holy One? This is a kingly psalm. It's a royal psalm. But it looked beyond David and David's sons to David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I'm glad that Jesus is the mighty chosen one. What about you? Psalm 89 is 52 verses long. It's the third longest psalm in the Hebrew hymn book, the Psalter. You're going to find many truths in this psalm as you study it, but I believe it has one great theme. It's what we're going to preach on tonight. That theme is the faithfulness of God. Ethan knew that he could pray and praise in the midst of a dark and difficult day because his God was faithful. And Christian, can I tell you, you can pray and you can praise in the midst of a dark and difficult day because your God is faithful. Amen. Listen, I look around me and there may not be a whole lot I can do, but there's one thing I can do. I can pray and I can praise. Because God is... If I wrote... I've been going through the Psalms and I've been writing titles. Matter of fact, in my own personal Bible reading, at the end of each chapter, I've been writing a title of each chapter of the Bible as I'm rereading through the Scriptures. And in Psalm 89, I wrote one word with an exclamation point. It's this: faithful. Faithful. Aren't you glad tonight God is faithful? Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. I want to say thank You that You're the faithful God. Lord, tonight we need Your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, thank You that You assure us of Your goodness, of Your mercies, of Your faithfulness. Lord, we need You tonight. Our nation needs You. But Lord, what our nation needs more than anything is godly people that will stand up in a difficult day and stand for their God. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be in that number tonight. Lord, there's people tonight, no doubt, that are hurting, people facing difficulty, maybe somebody in a dark day, but Lord, they're going to know that You're faithful. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, when I studied this psalm, I found there are 7 references to the faithfulness of God. And we're going to look at them tonight. Now, you say, preacher, we're going to be here a long time. Actually, I'm just going to give you a little overview of each instance in this beautiful psalm as it relates to faithfulness of God. I want you to look again, if you would please, in verse number 1. Would you do that? And here's what you're going to learn. God is faithful at all times. Look what He says in verse number 1. He said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. You know what that means? That means God is faithful at all times and in every circumstance. Listen, do you realize that no matter what season you find yourself in life, there's never going to come a time that God is not faithful. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what comes in the mail. It doesn't matter what the next bend around the road may bring. The reality of it is that no matter what I face, no matter what we go through, no matter what circumstance, doesn't matter what the headlines might read about our world or our nation tomorrow, God is faithful. Listen, He said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You know what He said? I can sing in every circumstance. I can sing in every situation because God, You're merciful. Aren't you glad God's merciful tonight? You know, I thought about this. It was Jeremiah that said, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Aren't you glad that God's mercies are forever? They're ongoing. Friend, listen, there's never going to come a time when God is not merciful. And can I say that His mercy is forever because His faithfulness is forever? Isn't that a blessing? Hey, there's many times I've been unfaithful to the Lord. You ever been unfaithful to God? There's never one time that He's been unfaithful to me. And you know what? If you're honest tonight, there's never come a time He's been unfaithful to you. I believe we could say with Jeremiah in Lamentations, he said, it's the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Do you realize when he wrote that funeral poem of the nation of Israel, that's what it is. He's mourning the destruction of his nation at the hands of the Babylonians. When he writes that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lamentations that follow his great prophecy, Jeremiah, do you realize that the city, the smoke of the city is still rising up? There's dead bodies in the streets. There's destruction on every hand. And he said, Lord, it's of Your mercies that we're not completely consumed. Listen, that they're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Can I tell you, listen, our lives may look like they went up in smoke, but I'm here to tell you something. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. They're new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. God's faithful at all times. Number 2, I want you to get it real quickly. God is faithful for all eternity. Look, if you would, verse number 2. He said, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever." There it is again. He's connecting mercy and faithfulness. They go together. You see that twin theme throughout the Psalms. Mercy and faithfulness. His mercy, His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. His mercy endureth forever, the psalmists are going to say. Here it's built up forever. Notice he goes, "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." That word "establish" means to be fixed. It means to be made firm. It means something that's unmovable. In the very heavens. Do you know heaven's higher than the earth, isn't it? It is. He's saying, listen, it's higher than all the... It's high above the heavens, high above all this world with all of its troubles. You know, we live in an ever-changing world. Did you know that? I mean, some of the changes aren't good. Wouldn't we say amen to that? Our world's changing, but not for the better. Life changes. We face uncertainty. Everything around us may change. Did you know that? Hey, life may change. Time, listen, things around us may change. Listen, everything around us may change, but Jesus never. Isn't that a blessing? He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Friend, can I tell you who God was? He is and will always be. God is faithful at all times to all generations, and He's faithful for all eternity. There's never going to come a time when God is not faithful. Hey, He's faithful at all times. He's faithful for all eternity. Number 3, I want you to get this. God is faithful to all saints. Look, if you would, verse number 5. "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." The heavens shall praise thy wonders. Oh, I'm telling you, all of creation gives praise to the glory of God. Oh, thy faithfulness also. The heavens not only praise His wonders, but His faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. The saints. Who are the saints? Well, that's us. That's the people of God. God's people. Those who belong to Him by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, so often I hear people say this, and I know what they mean by it. Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I understand that. I understand that. I'd been told of a meeting, well-attended meeting. It was a sort of a camp meeting type place, and preacher got up and he started the service by just screaming. I don't mind loud preaching, but I don't really like somebody screaming at me. You like somebody screaming at you? I don't really like somebody screaming at me. And he got up and he began screaming, and he began to say this, "You're wicked!" to the congregation. Man, they're shouting the house down. I don't know what there's much shouting. I've never been happy I've been wicked. Have you, Brother Paul? You know, I know I'm a sinner. I know that there's wicked, but I don't really want to tell you. I'm not proud of any wickedness. Are you proud of any wickedness? I'm not. But you know what? Once you get saved, God never calls you a sinner again. He never does. God never calls you just a sinner saved by grace. Now, we understand that, and I get it, I do. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying don't sing the song. Here's what I am saying. God calls you a saint. You ever notice how sometimes people live up to their name? Well, I'm just a sinner. Sinners sin. Well, I'm just wicked. I guess if you think you're just wicked, you're just wicked. God never said. He says you're a saint. You think God might want us to live above some things? You might think God wants it. You know, if you keep telling somebody there's something, they'll believe it. You know what? If you'll listen long enough, God's going to tell you over and over and over and over again that you're one of His saints if you've trusted His Son, Jesus Christ, His Savior. And therefore, I believe that God's lifting the bar so that He lifts the tenor of our lives. Listen, if we're saints, we ought to live saintly. I believe that's what God's saying. Wouldn't you agree with that? And He calls us saints. And the Bible says that God's not faithful to some of His saints. He's not faithful to many of His saints. He's not faithful to most of His saints. No, the congregation, that's all of them. He's faithful to all His saints. Amen. Can I tell you, God's faithful even when I'm not very saintly. Matter of fact, God's faithful when I fail. I'm glad that God's faithfulness is not based on my faithfulness. Amen. What about you? And I just want you to know, Christian, God's never going to fail you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. I love what Psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 10. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Can I tell you, Christian, there's never going to come a time when God is going to let you down. He's forever faithful. Number four, I want you to get it real quickly. You ready? God is faithful in all circumstances. You didn't think I could preach this fast, did you? You thought seven, man, you was already wiping the sweat off of your brow thinking, I'll never get home in time for bedtime. I won't get my nighttime snack. All those things go through our minds. And we're already on number four, and we got plenty of time left. Look at verse number eight. I love this. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like? Aren't you glad our God's strong? Like unto thee. Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. I love that. He's a strong Lord. God's not weak, church. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I was reminded in my Bible reading this week, I was rereading about Abraham and Sarah, and when the Lord came and met with them, and Sarah was in the tent, and she overheard the Lord telling Abraham that He was going to visit them, and He was going to give them a child, and in their old age that she was going to give birth to a promised son. And the Bible said she laughed, and He said, listen, Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Church, can I ask us a question tonight? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Can I tell you that His arm's not short that it cannot save? God may not take us out of every situation, but He'll faithfully see us through every situation. Did you know that? Nothing too hard for God. Can I tell you, no matter the season of life we find ourselves in, you can count on these three words: God is faithful. Maybe tonight you're enjoying smooth sailing. I don't know about you, but I like the smooth sailing times of life, don't you? It seems like things are just sailing along. I don't have a problem. Don't really have a care in the world. I enjoy those times, don't you? You know what? If you're in that right now, you ought to enjoy that as a gift of God. Savor the moment. Savor the moment. Health's good. Children's good. Finances good, spiritual life good, everything flowing along, just seems like everything's just moving. Hey, you ought to enjoy that as the gift of God, because if you know anything at all about life, the stormy waters are going to come. It's not going to be smooth sailing forever. The stormy times of life are going to come, and it's during those times. Listen, I'm glad that God's faithful in the good times, aren't you? But friend, I'm really glad that when the stormy waters come, that I can anchor myself to the faithfulness of God. Let me tell you something. When the stormy waters come in your life, that's when you need to anchor yourself to the faithfulness of God, because He will steady you in the storms of life. He will. I want you to look at verse number 9. Would you do that real quickly? He said, Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Do you know what was talked about in verse 9 was lived out in real time when Jesus stepped up on the edge of a boat during the stormy waters with the disciples, and He said to the storms and to the waves, Peace, be still. Aren't you glad He's the master of the sea tonight? Oh, He stillest the storms. What a faithful God we have. Look on verse 10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thy enemies with thy strong arm. Listen, no matter what comes against me, God's greater. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Listen, God's greater than all because He made it all. Look at verse 12. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, two mountains, shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right. Hey, I'm just glad to go on record tonight. My God's not weak. He's the faithful God. He's faithful in all circumstances. No matter the season of life, smooth sailing or stormy waters, He's faithful. Number five, real quickly, God is faithful in all His purposes. Look, if you would, all the way over in verse number 24. Would you look there? I marked these words faithfulness in my Bible. Look at verse 24. And my faithfulness and my mercy, there it is again. He's connecting faithfulness and mercy, shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn, his strength, be exalted. I want you to look at those two words. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be, watch these two words, with him. With him. Don't you like that? I believe that's a reference to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Back up in verse 19, He tells us that. That thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One. Jesus is the Holy One. Do you know that all of God's purposes for us are bound up in His Son, the Lord Jesus? Did you know that? All of the purposes of God are bound up in Christ. And we're in Him. That means that what God has purposed for us in Christ, He will perform. I love Philippians 1:6 and the assurance it brings. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You talk about eternal security. Friend, what God started, He said, I'm going to finish. Nothing's going to thwart it. Nothing's going to get in. Well, preacher, what if I mess up? Can I tell you God's greater than your mess ups? He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, I may not be what I ought to be. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. But I'm looking forward to what I will be. Aren't you? Oh, what a day that's going to be. He's faithful in His purposes. What God's purposing for your life, friend, He will fulfill. God is faithful. Number 6, are you ready? God is faithful in all His affections. Look at verse number 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness. Now we've went from mercy to loving kindness. Will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail? I like that, don't you? Do you know what loving kindness is? That's the Old Testament word for grace. Don't you like grace? I love that word grace. There's no other word for grace but amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for His amazing grace. You know what He's saying here in this verse? And by the way, you say, preacher, what's loving kindness? Well, it's like a little boy's in Sunday school. His teacher asked him and said, asked her class, she said, boys and girls, can somebody tell me what loving kindness is? And one little boy, we'll call him Tommy. Tommy lifted up his hand and she said, yes, Tommy, what's loving kindness? He said, loving kindness is when my mama makes me a peanut butter sandwich. Loving is when my mama makes me a peanut butter sandwich, and kindness is when she spreads the jelly on top. I'm glad that God doesn't just love me, but He has loving kindness. I'm glad for the times God spreads the jelly on top of life. What about you? Loving kindness. Let me just tell you, God is faithful in all of His affections. I want you to listen to me. There's never going to come a time that God will stop loving you. Never come a time. You say, preacher, I don't feel like He loves me. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. Never. Listen, there was never a time God started loving you. God's loved you from all eternity. God knew your name before He ever created the world. He knew that you'd be His child before He ever created the world. Friend, listen, it's from the foundation of the world He knew. He knew. And He loved you. There's never a time He started loving you, and there'll never be a time that God stops loving you. You can't make Him stop loving you. Jude verse 21, that's why the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I wonder why Jude would have to say a thing like that. Because in the hard times of life, I don't know about you, but I've got an enemy called the devil, and he'll jump up in my life and he'll say, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, you wouldn't go through this. And if God loved you, you wouldn't go through that. And if God loved you, this wouldn't be happening in your life. And look over there at that child. Now, He really loves them. Look how easy. They're smooth sailing. And here you are in stormy water. God loves them, but God doesn't love you. Can I tell you, God's love is not based on circumstance or situation. Amen. God loves you simply because He loves you. And He'll never stop loving you. Keep yourself in the love of God. I was reminded, and I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because you might have forgot it. I'm reminded of Brother Vernon's dad, John Vernon. As he told me one time, he said, my favorite song, we was in a prayer meeting, he said, my favorite song is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. A lot of times we think that's a children's song. Can I tell you, there's just times that you and I need to remind ourselves by singing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. Christian, it doesn't matter what you feel, the Bible tells you He loves you. Amen. God's loving hand, His mercy is at work in our lives. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Amen. Let's look at the last one real quickly and we're done. Number 7. God is faithful in all His witness. Look at verse number 36, or verse 37. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. Think about that. Underline those two words with faith, underline faithful witness. And notice where it's at. It's in heaven. God used the heavens as an example of His faithfulness to the nation of Israel. You know what He told them in Isaiah 66 verse 22? He said, as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain. You know what God's saying? Listen, the new heavens, eternity. He said, listen, I'm using the heavens and reminding you that my faithfulness in your life, it's an example, the faithfulness of God. Notice, God's faithful witness in these verses is not the moon. It's not. It's as the moon. Did you see that? It shall be established forever as the moon. You see, you recognize it's like the moon, as the moon. The moon in the Jewish mindset would be something fixed, something that was lasting. Listen, they could look up and there it was. Look up and there it was. That's the mindset. But can I tell you, His faithful witness is not something, but someone. Look up in verse number 36. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Did you see those two words in verse 36? His seed. That's not the nation of Israel. You see, remember, this is a messianic psalm. This is dealing with the Davidic covenant, the promises God made David, and that through him Messiah would come and sit upon His throne. And it has to do with His promise seed. Jesus, the Son of promise, that was promised to David, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. Jot this down in your notes. Do you know what Revelation 1:5 tells us Jesus is? It's a title of the Lord. He's the faithful witness. You'll see that, Revelation 1:5. He's the faithful witness. The moon dwells in the sky, the stellar heavens. The Lord Jesus dwells in the heaven of heaven itself. He is God's faithful witness to us. Friend, can I tell you, as surely as Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father and He was faithful to His Son, He'll be faithful to you and me. Oh, He's our mediator tonight. Aren't you glad we have a mediator? Someone that spans the gap between us and God. Job called Him a daysman. Someone that brings heaven and earth together. And can I tell you, friend, that Jesus through His cross spanned the gap between heaven and earth. And He brought us together. He reconciled us through His cross. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Have a mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. It's the man, not Mary. It's not the Pope. It's not some preacher or some potentate. It's the Lord. There's one mediator between God and man. And that's the Lord Jesus. He's my high priest. Do you know He's in heaven praying for you right now? Can you imagine that? 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, every moment, Jesus is praying for you. I'm so thankful you pray for me. I'm thankful for the pastor's prayer team that takes prayer requests every morning and prays for our church, prays for me, prays for our family, prays for special. I'm so thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you what I'm thankful for more than anything. I'm thankful the Son of God's praying for me. When was the last time you thought about the fact that the Lord Jesus is praying for you, sustaining you, enabling you? He's the great shepherd of the sheep, caring for you. And He's my advocate. You know, whenever I think about the word, or you think about the word advocate, first thing comes to our mind is a lawyer, a defender. Someone pleading my case. Can I tell you, the word advocate means much more than just a lawyer. Okay? Much more. You know what? I might have a lawyer, but that doesn't mean he's my friend. But can I tell you, you have more than a lawyer in heaven. You have an advocate. You have a friend in heaven. Representing you. An advocate comes to me. You know that word advocate's the same word. It has to do with the Holy Spirit as being our comforter. The Holy Spirit comes to us. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus comes to us. Hey, I'm glad He comes to me even in my messes. He lifts me out. He encourages me. He lifts me up. All that we have an advocate, a faithful witness. All God's promises, all God's purposes, all God's plans for us is wrapped up in Him. We're in Him as the faith, and as the faithful witness, He assures us that we will be with Him forever. Listen to this, and I'm done. John 17, 24. Father, this is Jesus praying. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. You know what Jesus just prayed? Father, I want all those that belong to me one day be where I am. Friend, can I tell you, every Christian has to go to heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because there's never been a prayer Jesus prayed the Father didn't answer. God prayed for you to be one day where He's at. The Lord did. Isn't that powerful? You know what? Jesus is what makes heaven heaven for us. Wherever He's at, that's heaven. Can I tell you, you are what makes heaven heaven for the Lord Jesus. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And then he ends, blessed be the Lord forever and forevermore. Blessed be the Lord. When you think about the faithfulness of God, you can't help but bless His name. Amen and amen. God is, say it with me, church, faithful. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Maybe tonight you need to come and bring your burden, your need.